Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. You already know that corporate CEOs get paid a lot of money, certainly much more than many of their employees. But are their salaries getting over the top? The AFL-CIO thinks so as they highlight some of the top-paid CEOs in Michigan and across the country. Vinita Anand is the chief research analyst at the AFL-CIO Office of Investment. She joins me now to tell me more about their latest findings. Vinita, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on your program.
You know, I was going to say that some might see a study coming out of the AFL-CIO and say the union is clearly trying to promote an agenda-based viewpoint. What would you say to that?
Well, no, because we take our data from the filings that companies make with the SEC, so we're not distorting the data in any way, as some would like to believe. We're just telling it as it is.
Well, let's start with the numbers. Just how much is the average CEO now getting paid in relation to their employees, and how does that compare to the figures you've compiled over the last 15 years?
Okay, so in 2011, the CEO of an S&P 500 company, so that's the largest 500 companies in the United States, got on average nearly $13 million in total pay. And in 2010, that was $11.3 million, so they got a 14% raise in 2011. And except for a couple of years during the financial crisis, CEO pay has been just going up, up, and away. In contrast, the wages for workers was only about $34,000 in 2011.
Who is the top-paid CEO in the U.S.?
We look at the 100 highest-paid CEOs, and Timothy Cook, the new CEO of Apple, received $377 million. In 2011, after having been on the job for only 6 months. And his predecessor, Steve Jobs, used to collect only $1 in salary.
Well, so, let me ask you this, because you know, I know salary is a factor, but when you talk about this enormous number, is that just a small portion of the total income a CEO makes? And what are the other ways that CEOs get paid?
Yes, in fact, you're absolutely right. For the average person, our salary is what we take home because we don't get the perks that CEOs get. We don't get cash bonuses, or at least most of us don't, and stock and stock options. So the way that CEO data is presented to the SEC, according to the rules that the SEC requires, it's got five or six different elements: a salary, cash bonus, and then non-equity incentive pay, which is another way of calling a bonus, all other compensation, which is perks, pensions, stock awards, and stock options.
Now, I'm talking to Vinita Anand. She's the chief research analyst at the AFL-CIO Office of Investment. So, Vinita, how about Michigan-based companies? I'm guessing they're not the top-paid CEOs in the country, although probably doing quite well. What kind of figures are CEOs in our state making?
Well, actually, you'd be surprised. You've got a lot of quite highly paid CEOs in Michigan, I would say. The 25 companies in Michigan for which we've got, this is the 2011 data compared to the 2010 data, their pay was $7.1 million. So their average for CEOs in Michigan is actually higher than the national average.
Who are the top three paid CEOs in Michigan?
Good point. So the top paid CEOs in Michigan are Alan Mulally of Ford Motor, who got nearly $30 million in 2011. You've got Andrew Liveris of Dow Chemicals, who got nearly $20 million. The CEO of TRW got more than $20 million. Hmm. And then you've got a whole bunch of others who've got 11, 12 million.
Just in the teens for them. But I do want to ask you, Vinita, I mean, you're looking at a free market situation here. Isn't that what's dictating these pay rates? Don't those that do take on the enormous responsibility of running mega billion-dollar corporations deserve to be paid quite well?
Well, that's what CEOs would like to tell you, that there is a free market and that they're being paid for their talent. But in fact, it's not the case. It's a game that's rigged because there is no pay for performance. You have athletes and you have movie stars, and that's true pay for performance. A movie bombs, and the actor or actress doesn't get so much. An athlete doesn't do so well, and then they get traded in, or they just don't get a contract for the next season. But that's not the case here. The CEOs have a captive market, and because of the way that CEO pay has been going up, it's pretty much rigged so that CEO pay will continue to go up.
Is the pay rate of CEOs dramatically larger than executives that are just one level below them?
Well, yes. In some cases, it can be much higher. Although, in the case of Wall Street firms, you can sometimes have a high-paid trader who makes more than the CEO. But it tends to be that the gap between the CEO and the next paid might be two or three times.
Now, if a company, though, isn't willing to pay the high salary another company is, aren't they simply out of the running to draw a talented, experienced CEO to their company?
Well, one of the reasons, and you make a very good point, one of the reasons why CEO pay goes up is because CEO pay is compared with that of other CEOs, what they call a peer group. But because of that, it sort of tends to go up. It's like the Lake Wobegon effect, where all the CEOs are above average because they're comparing their pay with that of the other CEOs. And no company, or at least very few companies, like to pay their CEOs below the average. So these companies are getting, their CEOs are getting paid in the 75th or 95th percentile. So, in the top 5% or the top 10%. And as a result, that tends to go up. We believe that that's the wrong way of looking at CEO pay. And CEO pay should be compared with that of workers of a company.
Well, isn't it up to the shareholders, though? I mean, they're the ones who own the company. Aren't they the ones that should be reacting and saying, we don't want to pay our CEO this much and we want to change the structure?
Absolutely. And in fact, thanks to the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, shareholders got the ability to vote on what's called the say on pay. And so they can express their displeasure at the pay of the CEO. Doesn't mean that the CEO's pay will change because this is after the fact. So the CEOs have already received their pay for 2011, but it's a non-binding vote which allows shareholders to say that we are unhappy with the state of affairs and things have to change. And we saw this just recently, a few days ago, early in the week, at Citigroup, where the shareholders gave a thumbs down to the pay of the CEO, Vikram Pandit.
Is there any evidence, though, that because CEOs are being paid so much, that actually has any direct effect on how much those below them and the rest of the employees are getting paid?
Absolutely. CEOs, on average, are getting somewhere like 10% of the revenues of a company. So that's a very high figure, which means that companies, and in some cases, there have been companies where they had a loss for that quarter because of the high level of pay that was given out to the CEO. And Dodd-Frank, again, the law that was passed in 2010 after the financial crisis, requires companies to calculate the ratio of pay of the CEO to the average worker. And we believe this is really important because it helps investors see how the companies are using their resources. In 1980, the ratio was that CEOs were making 42 times that of the average worker. Well, now it's 380 times.
I see. Well, they say it's lonely at the top, but it certainly is also profitable, it seems, huh?
It's very profitable at the top.
Vinita Anand, Chief Research Analyst at the AFL-CIO Office of Investment. Vinita, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.